Today on Secul, a new report that the DOJ and FBI declined to search Joe Biden's home after they knew classified documents were found in his office. Do you think they would have treated a Republican president that way? We'll talk about it today on Secul.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secul. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secul.
The drip, it continues. And the document, the classified documents, Joe Biden, and now we're starting to see, I think this is the first hypocritical move we've seen. Now, obviously, Joe Biden has been hypocritical about this because the way he attacked in Democrats, the way they attacked President Trump. But we were waiting to see kind of, has there been hypocrisy in the law enforcement community? We know there was an issue with National Archives. That's why we have our FOIA out to them, because this was 6 years long. This was not 6 months. This is talking about 6 years where these documents were out in multiple locations. But after Joe Biden's attorneys found the initial classified documents and turned them back over to the correct agencies, National Archives, and then the National Archives informed the Department of Justice. So the Department of Justice knew about this in November. And there was a whole discussion because usually what would the Department of Justice do when they say we've got to go to another location, we've got to search for more? And some of these attorneys don't even have security clearances. You would say, we're going to supervise that. In fact, that's what they did with Trump.
Of course.
In Mar-a-Lago, they were down there after they found out, at least supervising. So they were in the room. The Department of Justice and the FBI declined, in this case, to actually accompany Joe Biden's attorneys to do the search at his home. And all they did was say, if you find things, well, we'll send someone to pick it up.
Yeah, let us know. And, you know, this is where it becomes, the corruption starts to really shine through when you have what happened to President Trump, and you had what felt like a pretty strong case being made against current sitting president, Joe Biden. But what happens? These kind of moments, these moments of political corruption, and you'll start seeing all of a sudden the news start to refocus and to reshift. And we got to be careful here because this is when this stuff starts happening and it doesn't become some even playing field. It becomes this, oh, you tell us and it'll be fine. Look, it's not like there's not FBI agents all over the country. I think maybe there's some misconception there that maybe like, well, we don't want to send our resources from Washington. There are FBI agents in
there's
every
plenty.
State. I mean,
yeah, there's plenty
of individuals who come. Trust me, if you've had to deal with them before, they're everywhere. So you could have easily sent people there who probably are doing not much in that local area.
Right. And again, they would have at least to be there while his private attorneys, if not taking it over completely.
Yeah.
Like in the Trump matter, initially that was the move. And then the second move was a raid that the attorneys did not get to be a part of. Excluded them from that.
Yeah,
the question here is we also, it was breaking last night when we did our podcast the afternoon, Lloyd. We also know that they are now not going to make that statement that this is all done, that they're searching other locations. So the question is, in between this search and now, and we'll take your phone calls to this, 1-800-684-3110, we've had a special counsel be appointed. So I would like to know, in the new places they're searching, whether that's, storage facilities or we were kind of talking about like, oh, you can come up with different ideas or other. I mean, Joe Biden can have other homes that we just don't know about, or he could have a condo in Florida. We thought you had to talk about think that. And is the FBI now taking the lead? Because you know what the White House counsel's office said? I'm going to talk what Andy Cotton is going to be joining us in the next segment. They said, well, we didn't want to get the FBI involved too much because we didn't want that to impact the investigation. The investigation being led by
the FBI.
The FBI and now a special counsel who's going to utilize the FBI. Could you imagine if Donald Trump's White House counsel said, we didn't inform
the
FBI.
That would be the number one story.
And we didn't want them to get too involved because they have their own investigation going on. But their investigation would learn a lot from knowing where these documents are. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the show. We want you to be part of the broadcast. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. Support the work of the ACLJ if you can. Donate today at aclj.org. second. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Next segment, Mike Pompeo joins us to discuss these classified documents. It's also some just more anti-Israel statements coming out of Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib in attacking the Biden administration. So we'll talk about that in the next segment of the broadcast. But I want to go right to Andy Economo, because Andy, we now know that after the first set of classified documents was found in Washington, D.C. at the Penn Biden Center, that was November 2nd, like a week before the midterm elections, that the Justice Department, they started their inquiry. They had a discussion with Joe Biden's attorneys. That's not the weird part. The weird part is the discussion was, should we have FBI agents present when we go to these other locations that you know about to do additional searches? Not even take it over, but just be there with you.
Right.
And they decided the DOJ would stay out of it.
That really bothers me. The Department of Justice is notified that there are classified documents at the Penn Biden Center. Biden's attorneys turn up and say, this is where they are. And we, the Justice Department, now says, we're not going to send any FBI agents or anybody there with classification clearance to look at the documents. And as a matter of fact, we're going to stay out of this as long as you say to us that you are conducting the search and you are finding the documents and you're going to produce them. We're going to, if your personal attorneys are going to search the homes or the Biden Center or other places, the cars, the libraries, the little rooms on the ante rooms to the libraries, we're not going to get involved in it. Now, I can't believe that. That is a complete double standard from what President Trump was subjected to. But apart from the double standard, which is really problematic, is the attorneys foolishly, I think, on their part, because they become witnesses when they do this, should have said, we don't want to do this. We have found the documents. You get your FBI agents, you get your agents with clearances to go look at the documents. But they say, no, we'll go. That's okay. We're going to go ahead and we're going to find out where these documents are. And we're going to look at them and we're going to give them to you. And the Justice Department, Jordan, just says, we're going to stay out of it. You take care of it. No problem. What you get us, we're going to be happy with.
And the second part to this, which I think is even greater, is the White House counsel's office, their press person, said that they didn't want to get the FBI and DOJ too much information because it could impact the FBI and DOJ's investigation.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the American people start looking
at
it.
I
think that it's
just,
it becomes hilarious in a game of politics when you start saying, you know, we don't want to get involved in an investigation that it's also our investigation. It's the doublespeak that comes out of Washington. We don't want to send someone to the FBI. Why? Well, no really good reason. It just happens to be we decided we trust you. It's like the Joy Behar. Well, if we assume Trump is a liar, so we have to go after him, but we don't assume Biden is a liar, so if he's not a liar, then we don't have to treat it the same way. I don't believe that's how the law works.
Yeah, there's interesting, too, kind of reports about why did this get started in the first place? And you're starting to see members of Congress, they're going to investigate this, obviously, too. But we also know there's a federal criminal investigation of his son, Andy, and that was this started by looking for documents related to that by his attorneys, and then, uh-oh, you know, we've just attacked President Trump over having these documents for 6 months. And by the way, his team... second part of this, and it was in negotiations too with the FBI.
Yeah, yeah.
And the FBI was there, we know, once with the attorneys, and then there was some breakdown in communication, at least that's what the FBI says, and then they did the raid. But now we're starting to see just the difference in treatment between just being a Democrat president and a Republican president.
Very marked difference in treatment. President Trump's attorneys are in discussions with the archives. They're talking about which documents are classified, which belong to Trump, which need to go to the archives, which shouldn't have been here, which should have been there. And then, boom, one morning, we go to a United States magistrate and get a federal search warrant and come into Mar-a-Lago and take everything, including President Trump's passports, as if he's going to go somewhere, you know. We're going to prevent that from happening. But with Biden, it's handled with this delicacy. We don't want to upset anybody here. Their lawyers are giving us the documents. They promised us they're going to go around and find the documents, wherever those documents are. They're going to give them to us. So we're not going to get involved in our investigation. We're going to let Biden's lawyers do this. Double standard, but also the weaponization. It is really the weaponization of the FBI for political reasons. A Democratic president gets a pass. A Republican former president gets the axe.
Yeah, I mean, the big question now for me, and we're taking your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the show today. That's 1-800-684-3110 is will any of this change with the special counsel? I mean, you know, these special counsels, he was someone who was appointed by Trump to be the U.S. attorney in Maryland. He has a good resume. But are they so entrenched inside this bureaucracy that their team, so even if it's not them, but their team, Andy, will be, it is going to be these individuals. And they're like, it's basically, instead of an adversarial relationship between his attorneys and DOJ and FBI, it's like they're on the same team.
Well, they are. We're all pals here. It's like Mueller. Mueller, the old, you know, white-haired, great John Adams is coming in, and he's going to be the special counsel, you know.
That's how it felt. Yeah.
George Washington has come in. But he brings in his team of Weissman and all these people, Quarles, who are just part of the organization. So I don't care whether Robert Hur, is going to really be the one who is going to head this up, but what is his team going to look like?
Yeah.
They're going to be the same old guys, and they're going to get in there and make the same old deals and wink and nod and do the same old stuff. I don't have a lot of confidence in it, Jordan. No, I really don't.
And we know it's not, the search is not over. I mean, that's the key part, Lois. This is not even close to being done. We haven't started the congressional hearings yet. Those committees in the House that the Republicans control have just been formed. We just now know who the members are fully of most of those committees. So we're just getting started on, again, that good question. I think it was Dan Crenshaw asked, why were they even start looking? Like, what?
Yeah,
we
what
don't
was
even
the,
know
what
that question.
Was what was the reason?
It wasn't the Donald Trump, because that wasn't right around.
And what did they say? They said they were cleaning out, they were just cleaning out some closets, I think is what they said.
Yeah.
And they just happened to stumble upon classified folders
and said,
and
hey,
documents.
We better go to Delaware too?
Yeah, well, I think when they realized that, it could start unraveling. So the idea was, maybe we should go check. But then it went from, you know, it's still good. Look, there's going to be more. We know there's
going
to be more.
Oh, yeah, this is.
I don't know if there's necessarily going to be more reports on documents, but there's going to be more reports certainly on searches. This is not the only spot. They've already said through sources that other Biden-related places are being searched, which is a hilarious term also. I mean, I guess you could assume there's probably multiple offices, multiple libraries, multiple affiliates.
Storage units.
There's probably a lot of things to go through. And again, you start asking the questions. What are these documents? Why did they make their way out of the White House or make their way out of the president's office? It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, and why was some taken to Delaware and then some taken to the office in Delaware? Because there is a difference in just even having the documents and then utilizing the documents when you were no longer vice president. So like taking them to your office and actually opening up the file and utilizing it for any purpose, whether it's for writing a book, as some people have talked about, or for preparing your presidential. I mean, I think that's a part of it might be for a book, but the other part was he was preparing a presidential campaign.
Yeah.
And he might have been utilizing these documents. I mean, these could have been, I mean, we know Ukraine is involved in this. His son was at the middle. I mean, that's how the whole Hunter thing started, was because Hunter was on the board of Burisma. And Donald Trump got impeached over asking Zelensky to just look into it, to know how corrupt, is this family causing trouble in your own country?
Yeah, and of course, there's all this reports coming out of Ukraine and everything. It's not like this is out of the news cycle. It's the number one stories. Obviously, there was a tragic accident, it looks like, that happened there. And there is so much that's going on, it's kind of hard to keep up with. But I think there's going to be these distraction moments, and there's going to be even things like the FBI saying, well, we didn't decide to search. And you're going to have a lot of the liberal media, by the way, going, good enough for us.
Yeah, because they're compliant. Like some, but you
That's
know,
what I mean.
Going, I would think, Andy,
good enough for us, we're not going to cover
yesterday when it broke that they've got to look at other places. The FBI or the special counsel should have stepped right in and
absolutely
said, we are going to look.
We're
going to
look. That's
tell
right.
us, give us the list of places we're going, and you don't even get to go.
Right. That's exactly right. These people who are looking, these lawyers, they don't have classification clearance. What are, I mean, sensitive material clearance? They don't have clearance for these potentially devastating disclosures that are made in these documents. And the FBI should have said, this is our investigation. We're going to go. You stay out of it. No. For Biden, it's done one way. For Trump, it's done another way. Double standard all around.
Yeah. We don't even know. We haven't had, as you said, like a battle damage report about these documents.
No.
Like how bad this could have been, because we do know that there were a lot of dignitaries in and out of that. There's not a log, but he hosted a lot of people. There's a former vice president, U.S. senator. There were a lot of high-profile foreign leaders. That was his big portfolio as vice president, and kind of his thing as senator was his foreign policy expertise. Why he was brought in by Obama was to and they've all been there over, I mean, we're talking 6 years, not 6 months, six years. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us next. We're going to talk about this with him as well. And the difference, again, in working inside that bureaucracy, he certainly understands that. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to join the broadcast. And, of course, support the work of the ACLJ. We were on this the 12th of January. We got the FOIA out. They've already done 3 FOIA releases from the National Archives on Trump. So they better respond to ours. Or else we take them to court, we'll get the information. The information is, did you close the file on Joe Biden? Even when these documents were out there? And how did that happen? 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the show. ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Seculo with Mike Pompeo. Seculo. We are taking phone calls too. Get those loaded in. 1-800-684-3110. Our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State and CIA Director, Mike Pompeo, is joining us now. And I think it's a critical time to talk to Secretary Pompeo as we get the drip, drip, drip out about these classified documents. So each day, Secretary, we're learning more about the document scandal. Now we know that the DOJ, they were informed after the first batch of documents was found, but then they abandoned a plan to have officials, whether they're from DOJ and FBI, oversee the search with the attorneys. Not even just take over the search, but be there with the private attorneys from Joe Biden. But they said, never mind. We'll just let the private attorneys handle it. What are your thoughts on that?
It is unexplainable to me, Jordan. It truly is. To how one arrived at a decision that says we're going to allow private counsel, very unlikely they had the right clearances, conduct on behalf of the President of the United States a search of his home for federal documents. That is a stunning collection of facts that I just whipped through. It is unexplainable. It is deeply inconsistent with how they had treated former President Trump. And most importantly, it's deeply inconsistent with the way we should be handling classified information. And the fact that the DOJ chose not to be part of that, there is, as they used to say on the Lucille Ball show, there is a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the weaponization all the time, especially in Washington, D.C., and the contrast between the good work the FBI and law enforcement's doing out in the field, but the problems we've seen in the Washington, D.C. headquarters, specifically at DOJ and FBI. And it just appears to me this plays right into that appearance that if you're a Democrat, And the bureaucracy is kind of on your side, that's who they donate to, that's who they politically support, that instead of putting their blinders on, which they're supposed to do at the Department of Justice, and treat people equal under the law, that they're giving preferential treatment. And it appears that it's just because the only explanation for that is that he happens to be a liberal Democrat.
There's no alternative theory that has been proffered that is remotely consistent with what they chose to do and how they chose to treat these two cases. So just fundamentally differently, I'm shocked still, too, that not only did senior leadership make this decision, and I assume that happened at the highest levels of the FBI and Justice Department, but I'm also shocked that someone along the way didn't say, hey, we can't do this. We can't let these private attorneys have access to this information. Goodness knows what they'll actually deliver, what they'll do. They're not working for the taxpayer. They're not working for the United States. They're working for Joe Biden in his personal capacity. It is outlandish. I hope that these congressional committees can crack the code and figure out how to get to the bottom of this. Not because of Joe Biden, but get to the bottom of this because we have to preserve these institutions. You talk about the great FBI officers around the country doing good work. We have to preserve that institution so that the American people have confidence and trust in it.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the former Obama administration ethics advisor Walter Schaub. He blasted Biden. I mean, he said the retention of classified records is an inexcusable neglect of the most basic security protocols and that it also puts a breach of trust with the public and it's a self-inflicted wound. Talk about that part, the political side of this as well. When this story initially broke, I would give credit to most of the media outlets. They were pounding away. The question is, do they continue or do you think Democrats could turn on Joe Biden on this issue? Could this be the decision point to where he says, you know, maybe don't run for re-election? That's been a back and forth discussion because this is now you've got 2 criminal investigations, one on his son and now one on his handling of the documents.
Boy, you know, if we saw one thing in the debate in the House of Representatives about who the speaker should be, you recognize you can't be something with nothing. And I'll bet they don't turn on President Biden because I think they view the alternatives as not being likely to convince the American people that they can be trusted. I hope I'm wrong. I hope what they'll do is pursue the facts, and they'll do it with all the same vigor, that it won't just be one or two reporters in that White House press room asking hard questions, but it'll be every one of them. This is serious stuff. This is not about politics. I hope they'll do their work. And when they do their work, I think you will see that, you know, President Biden went on 60 Minutes and talked about how on earth could President Trump have these documents where he had them. They'll ask really hard questions of the president himself about how on earth he had those documents in places that they shouldn't have been.
I want to switch to another topic while we have you, because when you were Secretary of State, this was an important and great move by the administration. But now we've had Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib tweeted yesterday kind of a threat to the Biden administration and the State Department, saying that she's outraged that the State Department is moving forward with plans to build the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem, and she uses on land stolen from Palestinians. By doing so, the U.S. is complicit in the illegal confiscation of Palestinian property. The president should reverse this Trump-era policy immediately. You were Secretary of State that finally followed the law, moved the embassy to Jerusalem. This statement by Tlaib, I get a little nervous. I mean, on the one hand, I'm glad that they're moving forward with building. That's what she's upset about. But I've been nervous the whole time about what the Biden administration might do with the embassy site.
They have a legal requirement to follow through on what it was we did. And I'm counting on them to get that piece of it right. What Representative Tlaib said was on the very edge of anti-Semitism. And it's factually incorrect. It's not Palestinian land that was stolen. So she got her facts wrong, too. This land is the rightful homeland of the Jewish people. It is, in fact, the case that they've been there for 3,000 years. We righted that ship. We said that not every Israeli settlement was unlawful. And then we made this decision that both the Golan Heights and other parts of the nation of Israel were rightfully belonging to the people of Israel. I think most, even Democrats, will see that Tlaib has the facts wrong, the morality wrong, and the law wrong, and that they'll continue to build this. And we will have our embassy, the U.S. embassy, rightfully in Jerusalem, the place where the Israeli government tells us their capital is, just as we have our embassy in the capital of nearly every other country in the world.
Secretary Pompeo, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, we appreciate you joining us and giving so much insight on these really important and serious issues. Your new book is out next week. People can pre-order it now. It's out next Tuesday. Never Give an Inch. So head to Amazon, pre-order it now. It'll be delivered to your home. That book, again, Never Give an Inch. It's Secretary Pompeo's a new book that's out next Tuesday. Logan, I think we heard from Secretary Pompeo there, too. I mean, you do hear the seriousness in the tone about just one— the people's trust in our major institutions. We've talked about the IRS before.
Yeah, it's sad. It's failing.
Now it's the FBI. I mean, we've talked about with the FBI. We say that the IRS seems like they're beyond being able to be fixed. It's sad to say that about like a Department of Justice.
Yeah, the IRS, I mean, has been everyone's sort of, you know.
They're a disaster.
They've been sort of the people's enemy for a long time. People don't like the IRS. They've never liked the IRS. However, you had the FBI and the CIA and those kind of organizations as sort of beyond any politics.
Yep.
And what we've seen in the last handful of years is every time it seems like we're coming around a corner where maybe they'll be less political, it's clear that they're not. And that's what's happened here right now. You've seen this situation where you've had two presidents in similar situations not being treated at all equally in their investigations. And it's sad because I honestly thought this could have been a weirdly uniting moment for the country, because you go, okay, if you don't care for what happened with President Trump, at least you're going to have some similar standard.
Right.
But quickly that starts to fall. Quickly it starts to move off the news. You got to stay on it.
All right, folks, we're going to stay on it. We've got the FOIA out, so we've got to continue, you know, pushing there to get those answers from National Archives. When we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Every issue you're seeing, we are directly engaged in, not just talking about it on our broadcast. And we've got experts advising us, like Secretary Pompeo, like Rick Grenell, helping us through these processes to make it the work that much better. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So the search continues for classified documents in any location related to Joe Biden. We haven't had any more definition about what that means, but we know that that was released last night. We know that the Department of Justice declined to be involved in the search. I mean, how absurd. Even saying that seems just so absurd. After they knew that they had already found classified documents in one location and knew where to go next, which was the home in Delaware, the garage, the Corvette, the side office, which is the library. You know, we all of this. There's a beach house. There's now other locations. On top of that, we now have a special counsel who gets appointed. So what's what happens next? We have a White House counsel who said the statement from the White House counsel's office was, we don't want to tell the American people too much information because we don't want to impact the investigation itself. But it seems like they're running the investigation, not the department. The Department of Justice declined. I mean, look, that's what's the most absurd to me is the Department of Justice declined to take over this investigation when they were in negotiations with Biden's attorneys.
Yeah, they don't want to influence. They don't get involved, except for maybe if it comes around, you know, a midterm election, maybe then we'll just pretend. Maybe we won't get the American people too nervous or scared about what's going on. And look, they are covering it. I just looked up at CNN. They are discussing the fact that we can just colloquially use the term Biden documents is actually pretty interesting. Like, that's something to look at, the fact that we were able to move into this so quickly.
Yeah, I want to play this. This is Karine Jean-Pierre yesterday. She asked about, if you're going to provide info to the American people, why provide bad info that then just, again, continues this discussion? And also, you start digging your own grave. Bite 15.
Are you upset that you came out to this podium on Friday with incomplete and inaccurate information? And are you concerned that it affects your credibility up here?
Well, what I'm concerned about is making sure that we do not politically interfere in the Department of Justice, that we continue to be consistent over the last 2 years. And that is continue to refer you all when it comes to an ongoing process. And I'll just leave it there.
There is no consistency. Remember, they announced that the search was over. That was their own decision to say, hey, it's done, and it wasn't done. So they're not communicating, right? And then they're not communicating directly to the American people. And they've made this a major issue by the way Donald Trump was handled. They weaponized this issue of the documents. So now they have to live with it because now they've got their own. And what we're saying is, you better treat one the same way you're treating the other because it's equal justice under law. So if you're going to weaponize documents and send in search teams and raids to Mar-a-Lago, you should be at least considering those options, especially when you know this team has told you, we think there could be more out there at other, so far, undisclosed locations. Let's go to the phones. Adam in California on line one. Hey, Adam.
Hello. Good morning. I just wanted to emphasize that Trump has exposed more of what's going on now with both presidents than any other presidents in my lifetime, and I'm 45. And what I like is what you guys are saying, that the accountability has to be for equal, you know, for both presidents being accused or being reprimanded or searched or whatever, because they use Trump as such a big example to expose the things that they're doing wrong. And I'm so thankful Trump became president at least for 4 years instead of eight like any other president, but I wish they would continue to pursue him however they're doing it, because it's exposing so much that needs to be corrected.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. When President Trump came into office, it exposed the deep state, it exposed the double standard, it exposed the seventh floor in Washington D.C. at the FBI, that these are political decisions being made, not law enforcement decision, not equal justice under law. So when they weaponized classified documents, and by the way, Joe Biden was vice president when he had these documents. He didn't have declassification power. He could not have a discussion that Donald Trump was having, the back and forth saying, no, I declassified these. Donald Trump can make that case. Joe Biden doesn't even have that case. He has no reason to have these documents. And think about the time difference. 6 years, that's what our FOIA is on. Why did it take you 6 years? Didn't follow up at all with the vice president's office? What is wrong with that process as well? Support ACLJ, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Seculo. to your calls to on the documents, but there's another issue too we talked about yesterday. We wanted to get a little bit deeper into for you because we all know we're concerned about what's happening on our southern border, whether it's the individuals. We saw this cartel style killing in Central California with six people, including I think it was a 16-year-old and her 10-month-old child. And the police said it's absolutely cartel related. It was outside of a cartel known like Cartel Home, and how powerful they are. And of course, not only is it the people coming over the border, putting the strain on our communities and law enforcement and justice system around the country, but then you also have the drugs coming across the border that are killing Americans. There's enough fentanyl in America right now. Probably, I think it's 10 times it could kill at every least. American, yeah. is what they've said.
Yeah, they've said at least 10 times. Every American, not like all users who happen to be, tricked or use fentanyl, or it's been laced. We're talking about period population of America. So very wild time.
So we now know that there are the House Republicans are looking at should they move forward, not just with an investigation of Secretary Mayorkas, but move forward with a potentially impeachment. So you have three House committees: Oversight, Homeland Security, Judiciary. Harry Hutchinson's joining us now. They're going to look into these hearings and just get a sense: is would it be a correct move to even initiate that? Usually, Harry, if someone was performing this bad and was this politically detrimental to you, and the border is one of those issues that has been very difficult for the Biden administration, certainly doesn't help them politically. Now that we have Democrat mayors going down, like from New York especially, saying we got to see it on our own, usually they'd be removed. Like you wouldn't keep them on your team. They're a distraction. They're making it more difficult. Put someone new in. So I think it's the only reason Republicans are even having to consider this. But on top of whether they impeach or not, I think that just the just bringing him forward and saying, okay, what is the problem here? Why, is it because they've been playing politics too? It's if it was a Trump policy, we don't like it, and they tried to reverse course. Then Joe Biden went back down and tried to supposedly reinstitute some of those policies, and we don't know if that's actually going to be happening. But we know Mayorkas has been he's at the helm here, and he's been a total failure.
You are precisely correct. So Mayorkas is simply a man of lawlessness. And there is certainly a case to be made for impeaching DHS Secretary Mayorkas. After all, he has flouted national immigration law. He has effectively opened American borders while simultaneously claiming that the border is closed. And I think this reflects a deliberate policy preference by the Biden administration. The Biden administration, in my opinion, has no real intention of stopping what is now a 24-month-long invasion. Illegal border crossings now approach 250,000 per month, with tons of fentanyl being seized, child trafficking going up, alongside a boom in sex trafficking. So we have a clear and unmistakable problem, and there is a clear policy argument for removing Mayorkas. However, I think it's important to keep in mind that the House Republicans are somewhat divided with respect to impeaching Mayorkas. The three committee chairmen, that is the Oversight Committee, Judiciary Committee, and the Homeland Security Committee, those chairmen favor impeaching Mayorkas from a policy perspective. But keep in mind that Kevin McCarthy can only lose four House Republicans, presuming if we assume the Democrats oppose this initiative. So there are problems, but I clearly support at least a strong and thorough investigation.
Yeah, it puts I think it just by starting the process, it puts the pressure on. He's not going to be impeached. There's not going to be 67 votes in the U.S. Senate with the Democrat Senate. But starting the process.
But can I be?
Oh, he can be impeached. Not going to be convicted and thrown out of office. But starting the process, maybe not going as far as actually doing the technical impeachment vote in the House and then causing the trial in the Senate. But the issue is so prevalent, and you're leading up to an election, and they've kind of politicized impeachment.
Yeah, we've talked about
that. Impeached Donald Trump after he was president. There could be some points to be made to say, it'd be worth having that trial in front of the U.S. Senate, because the American people, what they'd have to cover it in the news, and we'd get to lay out exactly how bad it is at the border, and that the that it's not just bad because they can't do anything about it, but because of their lack of actions and interest, because of interest groups pushing them to keep open borders.
I think that is correct. So essentially, the Biden administration has paralyzed itself with respect to border policy. The Biden administration is clearly not complying with its constitutional duty. So there has been a dereliction of duty on the U.S. border. And so if cartel-style killings continue to erupt in the United States, this will place additional pressure on the Biden administration. And so I applaud the initiative of the Republicans in launching a thorough investigation and not allowing Mayorkas to get off the hook. Keep in mind that in prior hearings, Mayorkas basically had sympathetic chairman, a Democrat chairman in the House. And so he could get away with fibbing and lying about what's going on at the border. But I think the American people, both Democrats and Republicans, are beginning to demand some type of action. And the Biden administration continues to go down a pathway where they prefer to be tone deaf and blind to a real problem that faces every American.
It's interesting as well. We're going to start taking your phone calls. We come back after the next break. So keep getting them in, and we're going to take this entire segment. We're going to reorganize the show a little bit and talk more with Jeff Balaban tomorrow on Rashida Tlaib's statement about Jerusalem, because I want to take the calls. I want to get to the questions. Because we also know that the House Republicans have launched an investigation into the Biden family, and a lot of ethics officials, not conservative, Harry. I just saw a Washington University law professor who's an ethics expert, government ethics expert, on CNN saying that it's outrageous how they've traded their family name for economic opportunities.
I think that is correct. And I also sense that there is perhaps a turning point that the Biden administration has to face, and that it has to face true scrutiny from mainstream media, perhaps for the first time. So if you look at Biden's press secretary, she is getting frustrated. She's getting annoyed. Why? Because the Biden administration consistently cannot answer real questions. It can't deal with real scrutiny. And indeed, there is more and more evidence, it's piling up, that suggests complicity, if you will, by the Department of Justice, perhaps by the FBI. Why didn't the Department of Justice go in and seize the documents that were in Biden's garage?
No, we're going to talk about that with people. We take more calls in the next segment. And look, this idea, too, I think what we have to be careful about here as we launch all these investigations, the family business investigation, that's Hunter and his brother particularly, and the big guy checks, and there's that part. And then this investigation, which will be simultaneous with a special counsel investigation, so into the classified documents. And that's kind of where Republicans are starting, is that you've got to kind of keep it on a scheduled way for the American people so that the media has to cover it. Because if it's all jumbled up, they just move on.
They'll just move on. And I'm afraid that's, like I said, what is happening right now.
You pile too much on.
Look, I can kind of say, if you look at like the, I was a fan of obviously the Twitter reports, the Twitter files that came out. Eventually, the media moved on from the Twitter files as much as they did, because there was so much content and it was 20 different threads and it became very hard to follow and who was covering what, where first it was really outlawing corruption that was happening within our social media platforms. And it was fascinating. It's still fascinating. I think the journalists that did the work are doing incredible work. But I'm talking about the way it's covered and the way it's perceived. You don't hear anyone talking about it anymore, because at some point you get overwhelmed with information.
That's still happening, right?
It's not. They're releasing stuff every couple days. And now, though, it's becoming a little less impactful. It's becoming a little less serious. It's a little less coverage. And that's the same thing that's going to happen right now. I didn't think it was going to happen. Obviously, it's still in the rotation for all of the major networks. But when stuff like the FBI, because what will happen is your MSNBCs and CNNs will say, well, the FBI said they weren't getting involved, so why should we? Let's move on to another topic. Let's move back to Trump.
Yeah, they're doing everything so nicely and they're cooperating so well. And then we know special counsels are just a sibling as team. The House Republicans have just formed their committees. So there's a timing aspect to this as well. I think it's all worth investigating, by the way. Support all these investigations. We come back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think Republicans can do it in a way, too, if you do the right committees, the right oversight, utilizing the right folks. You can do these. You can walk and chew gum at the same time and still talk about the big issues, too, like the border, like our national security, Patriot missiles going to Ukraine. All of that is occurring as well. So we come back from this break. We got a lot of phone calls. One line open right now. Someone can grab that line. You'll get on the air. 1-800-684-3110 to grab that line. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back. So 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to go in order. People have been holding on. Joanne in Ohio's first on line three. Hey, Joanne.
Hi, guys. My question is more, I mean, besides the whole convoluted way we got to this documents disaster, I mean, if Karine Jean-Pierre can get out there and even Biden himself can get out there and say, oops, we had these documents, we're sorry. I mean, that's not an excuse, but what do we need a special counsel for except to recover the documents? And he don't want any part of it. I don't understand.
Well, I think the reason is they got stuck with a special counsel is because they put a special counsel to go after Trump. So to look like there's equal justice under the law, and the U.S. attorney in Chicago, who initially was assigned this, Joanne, who was a Trump holdover, a U.S. attorney, said this is grounds for special counsel because we have one for the Donald Trump matter, and so you've got to kind of have simultaneous. Our position has been pretty much in agreement with you, though, is that these special counsels are totally overused and really unnecessary because we pay for an entire Department of Justice, and then these guys come and they get another $50 million budget. And I'm not against them for getting the appointment.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
But it's like, well, we have the entire Department of Justice and we can't trust them to do the investigation of the Trump documents and Biden. We have to have a special counsel within them and I think a lot of just smoke and mirrors. And they used it politically against Trump and now—
It's all the politics of
it.
It's all the politics of it. They used it politically against Trump, then they didn't. And then you have people within the White House saying, we got to have a special counsel.
They were mad at Mueller because he didn't go far enough, because he can't indict a sitting president. So you can't indict Biden right now.
And hopefully, if you're a Democrat, you're going, whew, glad that we didn't figure out how to do that, because that clearly would be on the table. Just like impeachment, traditional impeachment through the House will be on the table, won't pass the Senate. We know this, but you said maybe there is a time to do this. And you have KJP out there most days trying to cover up for this. And look, sometimes there's a little bit of you, as much as I don't feel bad for anyone working in the Biden administration, you are having to deal with an onslaught of really good questions from the press, and you know that she doesn't have the answers. And not necessarily at her own behest, not having the answers.
Or she gets caught with half the answer, and then the next day you find out that was only half of what was really the truth. And listen, they're going to try to not talk about it. The problem is they talked about it so much early on. They had the White House counsel's spokesperson talking about it. They had her talking about it. They said it was over. They talked too much. The beginning of this should have been, we're not talking about it.
Yeah, it's still ongoing.
This is the DOJ.
Yeah, not, go to them. Got it.
Go to the special counsel.
Well, so we got a bite we should play? Okay, I haven't vetted this bite, so I'll just trust you. Anything we need to do to set it up? Here's a bite from KJP.
Given these documents have shown up in very personal spaces, we all know that the president loves his Delaware home. It's an extremely personal space for him. Is he physically joining in the search for these things, rummaging around these boxes in the garage and wherever else? I mean, literally.
Are you listening to the question that you're asking me?
Is he taking part in searching for his own documents?
Look, I'm going to be very consistent here. I am going to be very clear here, as I have been for the past couple of days, almost a week now, dealing with this. We are going to, any specific questions that you have about this issue, I would refer you to my colleagues at the White House Counsel's office.
I would like to know who asked that question, because number one, hilarious. Great.
It's not like Daily Mail or something like that.
Just hilarious. Yes, is it an appropriate question? Absolutely not.
Is the president rummaging around?
Is it hilarious? 100%.
And then you're like imagining Joe Biden rummaging around the
corner.
Well,
I know. I saw him. He was pretty able when he like took he was able to take a knee with the NBA, with the Warriors, right? With the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. So, you know, if he's able to do that, maybe he's able to get and look through some documents, look through some boxes. Hey, we got a lot of people still on hold. Let's try to get to some more of these calls.
We'll go to Randy in Ohio Line 2. Hey, Randy.
Hey, I just have, not only is it a conflict of interest for the DOJ to have the defendant's lawyers looking for their evidence, but on top of that, aren't the DOJ themselves committing a great breach of security, allowing these lawyers who aren't certified to look at this to be searching for them?
Yes, it makes no. We had Secretary Pompeo on. He understands classified documents. He headed up the CIA. So they're dealing with the most top secret of top secret of top secret. It is unexplainable, as he said, to have the Department of Justice being told, we think there's more, we've got to go search, and the Department of Justice saying, ultimately, we're not going to go look with you. Yeah. Not even with you. Just call us if you find something, and then we'll pick it up.
It stinks of political corruption. There's like no way around it. It's just so blatantly obvious that it's almost laughable. But sadly, it's not a joke. Continue on?
Yeah.
All right, Sam in Texas.
Hey, Sam.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you, gentlemen, for everything that y'all do. And just a quick question. Once the former president leaves office, what documents are allowed for him to keep in his possession?
It's a good question. You could set up a library, Sam, and keep most of the documents. Maybe not necessarily the classified documents. Those need to be dispensed. But like, documents that technically belong to the government but relate to your presidency. And then if you were asking about, like, so in Trump's case, they weren't even to that point yet. In Obama's case, National Archives said they've got a big warehouse that they secured with all those documents in it. So those, again, would not be classified documents, but they would be government records that your library, presidential library, could have, but then National Archives really actually oversees that library. So really nothing. The only thing you get to keep is your personal documents at the end of the day. And so now there's been a lot of questions about what does it mean to have a library that you have, where you have all the documents, but ultimately you shouldn't keep classified documents. You've got to figure out, was it declassified or not in the Trump matter? That's first. The second is, you know, if there was private personal materials that were unrelated to your time as being the president of the United States in your official role, you can keep those documents as well. And ultimately, you can build the entire storage facility under your name.
In your library.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. All right. Should we try to take Lewis real quick?
Let's do it.
Lewis in Colorado. You're on the air. Wrap it up.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask, when you played Biden talking about the $1 billion Ukraine and the prosecutor, didn't he implicate Obama in the scheme that took place there?
Yeah, we're having some audio issues with you, Lewis, but he's asking essentially, if implicates Obama, wasn't his administration, what happens with that?
It's interesting. The Obama White House ethics official is criticizing Biden. So they're just going to pile on Biden saying this is Joe Biden's fault. The truth is the National Archives, when they were doing the records put together, this was really, these were really Obama records. They're calling them Biden docs because he took them.
But they were from the Obama administration.
Right. He was the president. And the question we have to the National Archives going out in our FOIA is, why did this take 6 years? And why did you not ask for these back?
Yeah.
So I think Obama is able to push this to Biden. I mean, it could involve some of the junior varsity team that came over that is still with this administration. But ultimately, I don't know this is going to involve Obama too much.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll talk about this more also on Secular Brothers Podcast, which we'll be doing later today. So make sure you're subscribing on all your favorite podcast platforms. You can also find us on YouTube and on Rumble, of course. Secular Brothers. Go to secularbrothers.com. You'll see all the links there. Subscribe. We'll have a new show out in just a few hours this afternoon, continuing this conversation and adding a lot more fun to your day. So we encourage you to do that. Support the work of the ACLJ. Visit ACLJ.org.
Again, ACLJ.org. If you could donate, that would be great. It's a great time of year to donate. ACLJ.org.